Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God and is designed to restore original Christianity for today. We have the whole Bible. We have all the Word of God. What does it mean? What does it tell us? Does it have the mystery of life, the secret of life, the secret of the plan of God? And it all revolves around human beings. Human beings made in the image of God. Human beings in the likeness of God. Human beings with thought, with love, with emotion, but also the evil traits of hatred and murder and lust and adultery because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But we have a way out through the Savior, Jesus Christ, which we will cover in due time. We will talk a little bit about this during this series, Why Were You Born from a Speck of Dust to a Son of God? But this is very important so you know that you have been made by God. You are unique. Just as Adam was made of the dust of the ground and after they had sinned, he told Adam and Eve, dust you are and into dust you will return. And because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we're all given once to die, and after this, the judgment. But what about every human being that is born? Does God know about you? Does God care about you? Well, the fact is, God created male and female for the perfect combination, to give you life and bring you into this world. And he has made it so that the Father is the one who procreates life, and he is also, through his genes and chromosomes, the determiner of whether the baby will be male or female, because the male carries in his genes what they call of the chromosomes the X and the Y gene. The X gene is female, the Y gene is male. Now, a woman has two X genes. So when a Y gene comes and unites with the X gene, then the baby is born male. When the X gene from the father comes and unites with the X gene that the mother contributes in her egg, then a girl is born. Now let's see the knowledge that they had concerning procreation and the biblical way of viewing human beings being born into this world. Now let's come to the book of Job, which shows us that they knew this thousands of years ago. So let's come to the wisdom of the Bible, the truth of the Bible, come to Job 33. And let's see something that's very important and that you need to understand, that you are special, you are unique, God loves you, God has created you himself. Now we saw that Adam and Eve were formed out of the clay of the earth, and God made both of them. First Adam from the clay, and then Eve from the rib. So it shows that there is a unity and dependency, with man being the head as God has designed, and the woman being the helper and sustainer and compatible for him. But together, they were to, through the process of love and procreation, bring children into the world. But did the creation of God stop with that? Or does God have an unseen hand through the mechanism of procreation in creating every human being? Job 33, verse 4. Notice what Elihu is talking to Job. Job got all lifted up in his vanity and thinking that God was unfair to him. Now that's another whole story about the book of Job. But Elihu was telling Job, listen, Job, you don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. You ought to look at the creation that God has made, everything around us, and look at human beings made in the image of God. So he says to Job, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Because as soon as you're born, you take your first breath. And that's quite a thing. There's really a process that takes place within the mother and within the baby at the instant of birth. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But I want you to understand this. The Spirit of God has made you, and that Spirit that God gives is called the Spirit of Man, to impart life to the newly begotten child. Now, what I want you to do for a perspective, what I want you to do is take a pen or a pencil, I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to just put a dot. Just put the point of the pen down and put a dot. I want you to look at that dot. And I want you to understand every human being, including you, began that small. Isn't that something? But it is a spiritual process by part of the Spirit of God, which he put into man, beginning at conception, which gives man this special creation that he is, man and woman, male and female. Now let's come down here to chapter 32, and let's see what Elihu says concerning that Spirit, because that Spirit is what gives life. Then we will see there are three parts to human life: the Spirit, the soul, and the body. Right now we're concentrating on the Spirit. Verse 8, Job 32. "But there is a Spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." So it is the Spirit of man that gives you intellect, that gives you life, that gives you thought, and that keeps your body alive. Now we will see how the body works and the soul works, and all of that works together. Now down here in verse 18, Elihu again talking to Job, and he says, "I'm full of the matter. The Spirit within me constrains me." That's what gives you life. That's what gives you choice. That's what gives you the power of thinking. And it takes place right at conception. And we will see what scientific knowledge has revealed to us concerning that very Spirit of Begettal. And we're going to see a little bit later on, when you understand the greatness of God and the greatness of Jesus Christ. What was it that Jesus did to be born of the Virgin Mary? We'll just set that question aside, and we'll come back to that later. But let's come here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we find something very interesting in verse 23, which says, "May your entire spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, they were thinking that Jesus was going to return during the days of the apostles. Later, Christ revealed to them that it would be far off into the future, and so when you come to 1 and 2 Timothy, the whole tone of everything changes. But nevertheless, it has to be preserved unto your death, so that you die in faith in Jesus Christ. So let's talk about, first of all, the Spirit. There is a Spirit in man. That's what we saw here. But the Spirit of God makes us. Now, let's see what the Spirit of God does for us. Let's come here and we'll take a little bit of preview concerning the ultimate what God is doing, his plan. Why were you born from a speck of dust? Because that little dot that you made there, that's what you were when you were conceived. No bigger than a speck of dust. And yet, look at you now. See, so from the impossible to the awesome. and we're going to see what God does in creating us. See, but the Spirit is the Spirit. Let's read it here in verse 11. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? The Spirit of man is given to give life, to give intellect, to energize the whole body. And in James, the second chapter, it says, for without the Spirit, the body is dead. So that Spirit is what gives you life as a living being. Now, we also know through modern science that the body can be kept alive even though the brain is dead. And the way they measure that is because the Spirit shows up in the form of what we would call bioelectricity. You can't see it, but they can measure the effects of it. And when the brain is dead, Spirit is gone. But they can keep the body alive by artificial respiration, keep everything going, because now they sell body parts. But what they learn from that is this. There is the part of the body which is the part which keeps the body living chemically through breathing, through circulation of blood. And that is the part of the brain called the autonomous part of the brain which keeps you breathing, keeps your temperature going, keeps your digestive system working. And so for a while, they can temporarily keep the body alive through the soul or the physical living part of the body that first is directed by the Spirit, and then the Spirit of man directs the brain, and the brain then in the part that it belongs to the soul or the physical part of the body is what is called the soul. And the soul can die. So when the Spirit is gone, then the soul can remain alive for a while as long as the heart is beating, kept alive artificially. Now, you can't do that if you didn't have those things available today, but that gives us the understanding of it. The third part of man is the body. Now, the whole combination is a combination of spirit and chemical, which is soul. Electrical, which is part of spirit and soul, and the flesh is all fantastically made in such a tremendous way through the Spirit of God creating within your mother you as a new human being, separate, unique, individual. And they know that the contribution from the father is 23 chromosomes with thousands of genes, and from the mother is 23 chromosomes and thousands of genes. Going right back to the beginning where they too shall become one flesh. And you become one flesh in the womb of your mother when both mother and father are one flesh. Now, so reliable is this that they're able even to do this with artificial insemination. Now, they know that the contribution from the father travels to where the egg is in the mother. And then a tremendous thing happens, almost like a celebration of the uniqueness of you as an individual, who now is with the genes and chromosomes from your father and mother are going to be made by the Spirit of God, and it's going to automatically set in motion everything that you will be physically. And you start from a speck of dust, so small that it's hardly even visible. Now, just a little side here. Why should we get all lifted up in vanity and pride and self-importance and how great we are as human beings? And that's what people do when they reject God, because they don't understand the greatness of God. We should be thankful to God that He has made us. He's created us for a great purpose. And that's the whole reason for this series that we're doing. Why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God? And all the information is in the Bible. And it has nothing to do with an immortal soul. It has to do with the resurrection, as we will see. But what happens? What happens when the contribution of the sperm of the father meets with the contribution of the mother of the egg within her body? Something special happens. Let me read it to you from the book Young Again on page 255 and 256. Human sperm makes the long trip into the mother's fallopian tubes to fertilize the ovum, that's her egg, with power generated by the mitochondria. See, we are electrochemical, physical beings, and God uses that. And the electrical part of it is an evidence of the spirit of man, which came from the Spirit of God to make you separate and unique. Everything about you from conception is unique. No one is like you. You have separate fingerprints. You have separate DNA. Everything about you is special because God Himself in your mother's womb made you that way. The base of the sperm's tail is heavily laden with mitochondria. When the sperm fertilizes the egg, the ovum, there's electrical discharge that happens. It's almost like a celebration of a new life. A new human being has been conceived. And this is why abortion is so wrong. And we're going to see the fantastic pictures that they have made to see and follow the development of human life. And from the instant of that conception, you are who you are, provided that it's not cut off by abortion or something else. All the rest is a matter of growth. From a speck of dust to a human being, from a human being to a son of God. When the sperm fertilizes the egg ovum, the electrical discharge of 480,000 volts of electricity comes from both the sperm and the ovum. Both are energy bodies. One is huge, one is minuscule, but still a speck of dust. The electrical discharge of the ovum generates only 0.19 volts. The discharge from the sperm is 25,263,157 times greater than that of the ovum. A huge difference. What does this symbolize? This shows that life comes from the father, sustaining comes from the mother. Life comes from God, the sustaining comes from human beings. There is a vast difference in the physical size between the sperm and the ovum. The volume of the ovum is 1,760,000 to the third power microns, and the sperm is 21 to the third power. Very interesting, isn't it? When we divide the size of the ovum by the size of the sperm, we find that the egg is 83,809 times greater. The differences in physical size and the electrical potential generates the release of 480,000 volts called bioelectric lightning. Almost like a celebration. God, here is a new life. That's why you are important. That's why if you are pregnant, the life you are carrying is sacred and comes from God. That's why God designed it. Mother and father, husband and wife, so that children are born into a loving family. Now, we know in the world that that doesn't happen, and what happens to the children? They get all messed up, don't they? Why? Because, like we said, God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life and love God. If you don't choose life and love God, then it's going to come out horrible and terrible, and now you have to have everything repaired, your heart, your mind, your soul, your being, which God can do and he will do, but you have to come to God and repent because he wants you to become, upon repentance and receiving of the Holy Spirit, a newly begotten child of his. Now, we'll get to that later, but isn't that something? Now, after the conception, then growth sets in, and it becomes a bigger speck of dust. Now, when it's first conceived, a miracle takes place not only with the impregnating electrical, biochemical lightning declaring new life has been conceived. The mother's egg shuts off any penetration of any of the father's other sperm immediately. So you are solely conceived and unique in the special place you need to be, in your mother's womb. And God begins his work to make you, already set in motion by the impregnation, set in motion by the power of the sperm and the egg in the living body of your mother. Now let's come to Psalm 139 and let's see something fantastic concerning human life. They understood it back then too, great deal like we do. And what we're going to read is going to literally astound you as to how up-to-date and scientific that it really is. Now, King David wrote this psalm, and he talks about the greatness of God and the greatness of the way that he made him. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You measure my going about, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. God figured out ahead of time how we walk, how we talk, how we sit, how we move, how we do everything that we do. Everyone has different gifts. Everyone has different abilities according as God gave to each one. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Some more, some less, some different, whatever. So he says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. Not something. God can know any thought, any time. But he doesn't make us robots, right? He gives us choice. He says, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Then he says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? No one's going to get away from God. Hello, all you atheists out there, listen up. You think you're getting away from God? Are you breathing? God gave you that breath. Are you enjoying the food that you're eating? God created it all. He says, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in a grave, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall take hold of me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, the light around me shall be night. Even darkness does not hide from you. The night shines as the day, as is the darkness, so is the light to you. You have possessed my reins. God has a way of checking up on us, doesn't he? You know, it's called possessing the reins, testing the reins. Jesus said he tests the heart and the reins back there in Revelation, the second chapter. Now notice, verse 13. You have knit me together in my mother's womb. Knit together. Like Elihu said, the Spirit of God formed me. And I am of the clay of the earth. Because you see, dust you are, and into dust you shall return. I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. Now, we're going to see in the next segment we're going to see some amazing, amazing pictures of the development of human life in the womb. And after you see these, you are going to know that every conception that comes from God is special, and that life begins at conception, because everything that you are is locked in, electrically speaking, at 480,000 volts in that instant. That's you. That speck of dust. Now, if everything goes well, you'll be born in 9 months. That's another miracle. We'll cover some of that too. But God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for every human life. God is doing a work in spite of the sins of mankind, so that He is going to make His family great through the power of the resurrection. Because all life comes from God. Everything that we are comes from God. And God said that He even knows when a sparrow falls, and He knows the number of hairs on our head. And God keeps track of every begettal and conception of every human being. Just like He knows all the stars and the numbers of them and the names of them. And we are going to see those have been made for His family. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of sermons covering many, many biblical topics, verse by verse through the Bible, so you can understand it. So this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone, until next time.